Welcome to Talking Travel on 2NURFM. Greg Richard, joined by Sally Lucas with us. Good afternoon, Sal.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Very well.
How was the goats today, eh?
Oh, good.
What are you going to do? A goat, a duck?
Yeah.
No, not a duck. A goat, a pig.
A pig, yeah. I think a goat or a pig.
And a donkey.
And a donkey, yeah.
Get all three.
I've got a lot of options.
You have.
Probably too many.
Will your
options.
Dog get on with them all, though?
I doubt it. Or he might, you know. He loves everybody, so.
Anyway, yeah, we're not going to talk about goats today.
Don't start us.
No. We're going to talk about top 15 places you must see according to a particular cruising company,
yep.
And some top culinary experiences around the world, including our own Tasmania.
Very nice. Nice to see that we're on board.
So it's all about, you know, nice places and food and culture. So we're cultured.
Oh, perfect. Perfect timing. It's Talking Travel at 2NURFM. Top 15 places to go to.
Yes, this is just according to one of the major cruising companies. They like to put out little interesting tips every now and again, yep. On what's included on their itineraries and what you can do that's a little bit different and do an excursion, you know, not at the actual port necessarily, but away from the port. So you're getting away from the hustle and bustle and seeing something a little bit different. So I thought that was interesting to talk about today. I mightn't get through all of them, but we'll start. The first one is Valletta in Malta. And, of course, it was the Knights of St John who built Valletta, and it's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And this city was one of the first cities planned and constructed from scratch in Europe. So it's really got quite a history, and it's cut from local honey-coloured limestone. So it's really quite a beautiful, beautiful city, very colourful, and also there's lots of humble facades of churches, but inside them they've got these extravagant interiors of marble and tapestries and paintings and all sorts of interesting things. So that's, if you have not been there to Malta, that is a very interesting
one for the
place
history buffs.
Yep, absolutely. Moving right away to the other side of the world now, Juneau in Alaska. So it's the only capital on the continental US that is inaccessible by car. So you can get there by boat.
Oh, okay.
Or you could fly. Well, yeah, plane. So, but it's got quite dramatic fjord-like terrain. You've got rugged mountains and ice glaciers, which isolate the city, which it's a remote setting with limited access from the rest of the mainland. So it really, though, is very scenic. It's on a channel called the Gastineau Channel, and it's considered one of the most picturesque cities in the world. So you will need to do a cruise. It's the more, you know, the usual way people do it when they do one of those Alaskan Inside Passage cruises. So that's just another one. The other one that I think is incredible too is Ephesus in Turkey. Now, it's remarkable because it's been restored. I first went there in the 80s and they're still restoring it.
Right, so there's a lot.
It's a work in progress, yep. And it's just amazing. It's one of the best preserved cities. And where it sits now in Turkey, it used to be on the coast and now it's a few miles inland. That's how things have changed and how the land changed from when it was first built. So many of its ruins have endured the time from when it was actually one of the largest metropolises of the ancient world. Excavations go back to the 10th century BC. That's pretty old.
That's older than Waratah Brass Band.
Oh, that's funny. The Temple of Artemis is well renowned. It's considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And also the library. The library is amazing. This is an incredibly tall building with beautiful columns, and it's just stunning. And it also had a massive amphitheatre that once sat 25,000 spectators. And what amazed me when I went there, like they even had in place back, I'm not sure whether it was as early as 10 BC, but certainly I can't remember the exact century, like a sewage system. Like how we've gone backwards. Like even back then they had a way of going to the toilet where it was all flushed into a special drainage system.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. So you think, wow, we haven't come that far, have we?
Ah, well, we seem to stop a bit and then.
Yeah, like when you think about it, with Egypt, you know, all these ancient civilizations had very brilliant people who built incredible structures with none of the technology we've got.
And then the English and the Spanish came along and ruined it for everyone.
Just about. Now, another one is Tromsø in Norway, and it's Norway's most northerly city. Absolutely gorgeous, and it's considered the gateway to the Arctic. It's got lovely little wooden houses there, which is quite common in Norway. They're nearly, most of the houses are wooden and often brightly coloured as well. So I guess they stand out when it's in the snow. You know, you've got these bright red and all these gorgeous coloured houses. Mm-hmm. But it's got lovely landscapes around it. And, of course, you do, well, you're obviously going to see it if you're there at the right time, the Aurora Borealis as well at that time. And you can just, and that's where Roald Amundsen, of course, the famous, of course, explorer first set out from when he was doing a lot of his voyages.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's, and it's commemorated to him with a lovely bronze statue in the city. So that's another one. And this one is in Austria. It's Melk. Now, it's sort of due west of Vienna, if you can imagine that, and it's part of an important wine-growing region that has very picturesque villages and the usual German fairy tale castles. And you're sort of right in the middle of this valley, the Wachau Valley, and it's got a 900-year-old Benedictine Abbey. That sounds young compared to Ephesus, doesn't it?
Yeah, very fresh-faced.
Very fresh-faced, yeah. So it's on a beautiful hilltop location. It's got 365 windows, one for each day of the year. So there you go. Well, that was really thinking, wasn't it?
Each day you can look out a different
window. So the monk can look out a different window each day and get a different view on life. and it's got a beautiful library. It's got medieval manuscripts, beautiful frescoes, etc. And that's something lovely. And lastly, for the moment, is Marseille in France. So it's rich in historic treasures as well. It's nestled between the Mediterranean and the rocky hills of limestone. You've got two 17th century fortresses there, which dominate the old port, or Vieux Port, as the French would say. A natural harbour, of course. So you've got everything there from, of course, the old elegant yachts, not quite as many of them as you get in Nice and Monaco, though. I think that's just money plus. But you also got the old-style fishing vessels. You've got a picturesque quay there, which is one of the world's most romantic works, or considered to be. And, of course, there's just lovely things to just linger in a cafe and have some of the signature bouillabaisse, which, of course, is the famous seafood soup or stew it's famous in France. So that's just a few of the things you can do if you want to add them to your bucket list to include in your European vacation, and also Alaska and a bit of everything there.
So they're in, luckily they're in popular places, but they're just...
Yes, they're in popular countries.
Just a step to the left a little bit.
Yeah, just taking one step, you know, either way. So you're seeing something just a little bit different and maybe not going to be quite as busy.
Right, so we've got a couple more we're going to go through?
We've got a couple more through, and then we've got a couple of culinary things to talk about as well.
It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM, and Sally Lucas, we're looking at the top 15 places, maybe just a little bit left of centre or right of centre.
Yes, well, they put Sicily in this list, but of course Sicily is very popular. Hmm. But I guess why it's in there is that it's been shaped by countless civilizations, like from the Greek to the Byzantine to Roman. And it also has fallen under Spain in the 17th century.
Really?
So it's had a mixed career, if you like. You can say it's a career as a country. Well, it's not a country, it's an island of a country. But it was celebrated as one of Europe's 10 great cities as well. And this is Messina in Sicily. So it's surrounded by beautiful mountains, orange and olive groves, vineyards aplenty. And also during World War II, Messina was the destination of the unofficial, which they called the Race to Messina, which was between the US General Patton and the British Field Marshal Montgomery. And in the end, Patton arrived just before Montgomery, receiving credit for securing Sicily. So there you go. That's quite interesting. Back to Norway now. Just east of Bergen, there's a Idfjord, and it's nestled in one of Norway's most scenic regions. And, well, all of Norway is scenic. It's just stunning.
I was about to say which part.
I was just going to say there's nothing that's not scenic in Norway. But anyway, this is a lovely little place, and it's where you have the wonderful expansive, and I'm sure I'm not going to have my correct Norwegian pronunciation of this, Hardangerfjord. Thank you. And it leads to the smaller Idfjorden and a little hamlet of Idfjord, and then the gateway to Hardangervidda, Europe's largest mountain plateau. You've got wild reindeer roaming here, beautiful, stunning, you know, areas, again, dotted with pools, rivers and streams. And there's a fantastic waterfall. Here we go again, the Vorringfossen waterfall, which is a 550-foot cascade that plummets all the way down into a canyon. So that's something interesting. Japan, near Kagoshima, there's a place called Miyazaki, which is on the southeastern shores of the island of Kyushu. And it's known for its warm year-round climate and one of of Japan's sunniest cities. But it's also steeped in history as well, very important to Japanese mythology. And legend says that sometime nearby, a place called Takashiko has a stunning gorge with sheer cliffs and a cascading waterfall. And that supposedly is where the gods descended to Earth to create Japan. Right. That's the myth.
Not a bad place to descend from.
No, not at all. San Lucia is one of the Caribbean's most beautiful places, and the capital is Castries. And it's a real just paradise area that the British and French fought over for nearly 150 years, and the British finally triumphed in 1814. Today it's a sovereign nation, but it's still part of the British Commonwealth as well. But it's got a rich artistic heritage as well there. Regensburg in Germany, which is southeast of Nuremberg, and it escaped major damage during World War II, and it's one of Europe's best-preserved medieval cities. It's the oldest city along the Danube, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site as well, with a bridge that goes back to the 12th century as well. So there's some amazing, again, Gothic architectural work to be seen there. Casablanca in Morocco. I mean, that always conjures up, doesn't it? Morocco images in your head, of course.
I'm just thinking of an airport straight away, to be honest.
But. Yeah. Made famous, of course, by that famous film, wasn't it? That 1942 film, Casablanca, yes. Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall.
Yes, I thought it was Ingrid Bergman, but not
was it Ingrid
Bacall.
Bergman? I thought, no, oh, mate, yeah, one of the listeners will know.
Yeah.
They'll probably ring in and tell me I got it all wrong. That's all right. One of them, any one of those
I think
ladies.
It might be Bergman, I think.
It might be too.
I've never seen it.
I think it's because he married Lauren Bacall, that's what I'm thinking of.
And I think they were in a lot of movies together as well.
Yeah, they were.
Anyway, I've got off track. It's getting goats.
I know, from goats to... Anyway, the city's Medina is a maze of warrens there, which you can easily get lost in. So you really need to be careful because you can get lost very easily. Luxor in Egypt, what is arguably one of the world's largest archaeological sites, which is in Thebes, once a thriving imperial city in antiquity. The Nile River ran through it, dividing into the city of the living and the city of the dead. And the former refers to the East Bank, which is now modern-day Luxor, and as this was where the majority of the city's population was, and also the Egypt's rulers made their home, the West Bank today is known as Kurna, which was designed as the latter, as it served a necropolis dotted with lavish resting places of royalty and other nobility. So only the rich and famous could be living on the city, in the city of will be buried in the city of the dead. And lastly but not leastly, New Orleans, known as the Big Easy. Of course, it's steeped in, as we know, in proud musical tradition, jazz, blues. I mean, even though it's not a city we're saying that's so, you know, out there, it's still a city that has got a lot going for it as well. It's got the oldest continuously operating streetcar line in the world, and it's just a very interesting city to explore, the historic homes, parks, museums, etc. So, yeah, that's it. That's sort of most of them anyway. I didn't get through probably quite all of them today, but that's most.
All right, we'll go back to culinary next, or you just want to go straight in the top deals?
We might do a little bit of culinary.
Yep.
I might just do an
entree.
How about I do an entree of Tassie?
Yeah, okay.
Culinary and do the other culinary experiences next week.
Right, yeah. We'll do an entree for Tasmania
and then
some hot deals.
And then some hot deals, yeah.
It's Talking Travel on 2NUR FM. And Sally, we're not going to quite go on a big culinary adventure, just an entree of it, I guess.
An entree today. I'm heading to Tassie soon, and I was just looking at things for us to do, and I just came across some of these little, what they're calling Tassie's tastiest tours. So they're things that you can add in while you're down there travelling around if you want to do, that all involve food and or wine. And one of it is called the Sirocco South, which is an area in the south of Tasmania where they gather seasonal foods such as wild asparagus, mushrooms, saltbush, and they actually whip up Mick Giuliani whips up a 6-course lunch with local ingredients. You can lend a hand or you can go and get something to quaff from the nearby Brim Creek Vineyard. And
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? I thought, oh, that sounds good. There's also one you can do, the Tasmanian Wild Seafood Adventures, which is what they call a deep to Tradish cruise, and that's a half-day cruise you can do from Hobart down the Derwent all the way across, including coastal waters around Bruny Island, of course, which is lovely. They're famous for their oysters. But also they have things such as sea urchins and periwinkles and Atlantic salmon from a sea farm nearby. You can do a Taste of Hobart walking tour around the Salamanca district, starting with coffee and sweet treats at one of the oldest bakeries there. And then you go on concluding with tastings at a leading distillery as well in that one. And then you stop at other yummy places for cheese, chocolate and more. Eat the Wild. Now, that's you get off the beaten track. Now, this is a Eat the Wild is a mobile kitchen, and your guide is a chef, and they actually take you off in a van, and you do the Bruny Island again, featuring cheese, oysters, beyond the cellar door visits, under the radar vineyards, tastings, winemakers, and paired with freshly made at each stop. And there's also a Bruny Island safari that does all of that and more, plus including the lighthouse, which is great. And then Unearth Tours, which does northern day trips that you're going to eat well, even on the Cradle Mountain Walk. So that gives you a gourmet hamper and Tasmanian sparkling wine if you're going off doing your own thing, which is nice. And then, of course, we're going here. I can't wait. It gets written up all the time. It's won so many awards. The Agrarian Kitchen Eatery, which is in New Norfolk, which is sort of about an hour or so northwest of Hobart. So you can go there as well and do a wonderful, it's a renowned restaurant, so I can't wait. And they grow all their own produce as well.
Oh, good stuff. All right, to wrap us up with some hot deals.
A couple of hot deals. If you're thinking Arctic at the moment, you can get up to 20% off some selected itineraries with Aurora Expeditions until sold out. Limited berths. And depending on some of the staterooms, if you buy a certain grade of stateroom, they'll upgrade you to an even better one. So just check with your agent about that. So there's lots of incredible itineraries doing all the way around the Arctic, Greenland, the Northwest Passage. The Mekong season now for October 2025 is open for sale. This is with Viking. They've got two ships that are sailing the Mekong in 2025, and they've got 70 departures from there through till 2027. They only take 80 guests, which are just fantastic for navigating the Mekong River. So they're booked by the 15th of November, and you can enjoy free return economy class international flights on a selected range of their itineraries from 25 through to 2027. And also with Viking, they've got, if you book your preferred stateroom on any of their world voyages, one of the longer voyages, okay, this ocean voyages, in addition to giving you included business class airfares, they also give you transfers and a Silver Spirits beverage package and up to US $2,000 shore excursion credit and up to US $1,000 shipboard credit per person. So there's some good deals out there at the moment. There's a lot of good cruise deals available. There's far too many for me to mention them all here today, Greg, but there's just a lot. And a lot of people are wanting to sell off their last cabins. So there's a lot of companies with doing expedition cruises and even down in the Antarctic. They're offering 20 to 30% off sailing sort of from the end of this year into early next year. They just want to get rid of their last few cabins. So if it's something you really have on your bucket list to do, that's a good time to take advantage of those discounts.
Right, yeah, 20% off, that's not too bad.
Yeah, or 30 or, some of them too. That's a pretty, pretty good discount. Yeah.
So, Lucas, thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg. We had fun.
We did. We even talked a bit about travel as well.
We did. Nice. two programs of fun today, Dennis and mine.
Thank you, right. So, Lucas, it's 2NURFM 103.7.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.